It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Thank you. I got beautiful Julie just came in with some birthday cake. Had a big birthday from one of the girls here today, Gabby. Happy birthday to her, 30th birthday. You saw everybody come down, the celebration.
And that went goes on in this building, Joe. Very nice. Very.
It's actually, I mean, we all have radio egos, but it's a good group.
Yeah, I didn't know this. It's like Radio Row here, like seven stations in a row. Everybody's walking out.
It's weird because everybody comes in between 4 and sometime in the 5 o'clock hour.
It's an odd group.
So you got the early birds here, man, for this business. Hey, we've got a lot of stuff. Thank you, Woody, by the way. I got a little ahead of myself there. But Rich Clark, college football playoff executive director. First year, Dave, you like it? 4-12 playoff teams?
Yeah, why not? Now the controversy will be...
Money's out, man. No more about their student-athletes. They don't have time to study.
They're getting their money's worth out of the players now. And now the controversy will be who's the 13th team that wasn't picked, right? But it just won't be as loud as it was
last year with Florida State. I don't want to hear about that person complaining now. You'll get a chance to get in. So I think everybody likes it. It's a long season, though. They're damn near playing in NFL.
That's going to say, how many games will the winner now play?
If you get a bye, I believe it's 3 games. If you don't, you got 4 playoff games.
So
it's like
16
an NFL
games,
deal.
16 games.
Well, because
these guys better get paid.
13. I don't know, man. You play 16 or 17 games. You damn near
that's
play.
Too much. That's too many games.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't hear anybody bitching now that guys are making money.
Well, how many fans are going to complain about games?
How many
who's going to stand up for the players and say...
Can I tell you the biggest difference right now between the NFL players and NFL fans? If it was up to the NFL fans, we'd have 18 regular season games and no preseason.
It'd be year-round.
And
it'd
the preseason guys are going, they're saying, no, man.
Two byes, too. Two byes.
Why don't they just open up the roster a little more and allow all these practice squad players, you can get as many guys as you want.
Cannot figure that out for the life of me, why everybody can't be active on game day, and when you're healthy enough, you just come back. We don't have to pull a guy off and, oh, we're out of IR moves. We don't have any left at the end of the year, and we got a guy that's coming healthy with 2 games left, and you can't play him.
The only thing I can figure is the NFL owners are holding that off till they get 20 games. You know, they're going to keep stretching this out, right?
I don't know. Roger Goodell, so far, everything he's done.
It's gold.
There's a reason.
It's money. There's money behind
everything.
There's
a reason they pay him $62 million a year to be the commissioner of the NFL.
Well, you saw the Packers came out with their report. They're the only publicly traded team, and they came out
for profit.
They made $60 million profit, but they're making $60 million profit on over $600 million in revenue every year. And that's not even getting into the side deals that every team has with local the business areas they build up.
There used to be a complaint, though. There was like, oh my God. Because they're calling it going around. They're going, our student-athletes come first. And you're going, student-athletes, you're playing a playoff game. You're a conference championship game. And now you're not going to hear nobody wants to hear from the AD or the president or chancellor of a university saying, you know, these are student-athletes. No, nobody
wants
to
hear
that.
Move will be the players have to unionize. That is because who's standing up? I mean, 16
Dave,
games a year,
Dave,
Joe. That's
Dave,
that seem, is a pro schedule.
They seem to be doing just fine. for where they were 2 years ago to where they are right now with the NIL, their scholarship, the improvement in – I'm just going by Miami, what Miami's done.
For an 18-year-old, 19-year-old play, all of a sudden playing 16 games a year on that stage, that's a lot for your body.
Well, most teams only going to play 12 because they don't get into the championship
okay, right,
game,
right. So. That's a good point.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves. We all want to get to that playoff, though. We want to get a shot at that damn thing and get one of those home games and bye weeks. So anyway, we'll talk to Rich Clark about some of that stuff coming up here and talk to him and see his take. I like it. Now the guys are getting paid and signing bonuses and all the stuff you get when you go to a university. We're not hiding from it anymore. And it got away. I mean, there's more dark gray area, right? Because now schools are talking about tamperings. Tampering's the biggest problem they have. So they know who's playing all the time and who's not and who's happy and who's not. And part of the tampering's being done by the marketing guys. Some of them are my friends, but the marketing guys are a problem. They're the ones that find they have the players and why they're marketing to a new school, and they can find out who's interested, and we can get deals for you here. And so they're...
Or the agents. Don't the agents know, okay,
yeah, but
you're not happy there, let's find a better
way. Well, that's what they did when they allowed NFL agents to be marketing guys.
Yeah. Oh, you're calling those marketing guys. You're calling the agents the marketing guys.
Drew Rosenhaus got a marketing department now.
Oh, I see. I get what you're saying. Okay.
So I met Drew. He had a bunch of new guys. Hey, some new faces in new places here, Drew, on game day. He's got, you know, like 20 Dolphin players, and they're all coming over. And he goes, yeah, no, these guys work on our marketing side.
Marketing.
They're
not called.
Well, he's got 30 or 40 guys. So that's Dave. That's where we are with that long pause here. By the way, Dave's got an article out. I want to pump up your article, find out what people think, and if you want to rip Dave, send a text this
rip
morning.
Me. Send it to Joe.
Send it to me. And you guys are losers. About Tua's contract. So you don't think if they're not comfortable paying what the going rate is right now, they shouldn't do it. That's what you're saying.
Well,
they're doing the right thing, actually.
I think the Dolphins, and I tip my hat that they didn't just open the vault to Tua and say whatever you want, because that's what I thought they were going to
do. What do you think it looks like as these things go on? They don't get cheaper. Like, people are going to be going, Jordan Love got paid more than this guy. He's not as good. Yep, that's right. But
you know what?
Contract.
If they get the right answers from Tua this year, and it costs them a little more, that's fine. Pay more. You never overpay for great in sports. You think Patrick Mahomes, of course, he's now making 45. He's underpaid. He's like the 10th highest paid quarterback. But you can't pay.
They're going to redo his.
Yeah, you can't pay Patrick Mahomes too much, right? You can't pay Josh Allen too much, I don't think, because
Mahomes by himself, yes.
Mahomes is by himself. But the point is you can't overpay great. You can overpay good, though. And that's the question. Two is good. Can he be great? And if you're going to pay $50 million, if you're going to play the elite level, you got to make sure that guy's at the – and the Dolphins obviously have questions about – same questions that – pretty much everybody else does. They just have them privately.
I just heard those guys in Jacksonville talking about Trevor Lawrence, who didn't have a great year last year. All right. Not great. And they're going, we think this is the year that he has to break through and plays the way you think he's going to play. So they're betting on not what they've seen from Trevor Lawrence, but what they're going to see.
You're right. And I think that's not
Jordan
the way
Love,
I would
half
do
a
it.
Good season. Boy, nobody played the way he did in the last.
I was going to say
games.
That half a great. He was the best quarterback
yes,
in the league. The last
and he
half
won a
of the
playoff
season,
game.
And he won a play.
Beat Dallas in
he
Dallas.
He did a lot of things, and so some of it's organizationally too. You know what does look at what's Dallas doing? Dak Prescott, and this is a surprising one because Jerry Jones is such a bizarre owner. But I would have thought they would have at some point just stepped up and signed Dak Prescott. He keeps playing
on. I think
on.
They got bigger problems they got to take care of. They have one of the top five receivers and one of the top three pass rushers. They got two guys ranked higher that are important
positions. You never have a bigger problem than quarterback, do you? To me, if I'm an NFL GM, 60% of my job is the quarterback. Getting the right quarterback, getting his contract situation.
So Dave,
everything else, there's going to be options
Dave,
for.
This is the best quarterback we've had in a long time. We all agree.
Yes.
What's the guarantee? Like, for everybody who wants to get rid of Tua.
Well, no, but
No one's saying get rid of Tua.
That's
not fair. You're right. I'm sorry. I did. I tried to stir it up with you. That hasn't seen enough yet. What's the guarantee for where we're going to be picking or that we're going to hit on one? It's hard, man. It's hard for our GM, and it's hard for a lot of GMs out there to find that perfect quarterback unless you're a first-round pick and happen to hit a slam dunk.
But we're not talking about – we're talking about the contract now to match the talent, right? So the Dolphins figure – look, here's an interesting contract.
Why do you think Tua's going to take less money? Why would he?
Well, less
Got
money than what?
Than a bunch of other guys. He can you play that? The market is what the market is or whatever this thing is.
But there's several markets, quarterback markets. The $50 million, everybody talks about the $50 million. Okay, but Lamar Jackson, to get to that point, had to play out his contract.
He said that was the dumbest thing we've ever seen. He's betting on himself. What the hell are you doing? That paid off.
Right, it paid off. But he, you know.
And it paid off.
Here's an interesting – the most interesting contract to me is none of these high-paying ones. It's Baker Mayfield. Just took a team to the playoffs in Tampa Bay. He's kind of reinvented his career there.
Yeah,
his number – he's not – and I'm not saying Baker Mayfield's great, okay? But if you brought him in here, his numbers are – everything's comparable to
– Oh, so you're one of those that thinks that in Mike – no, it's not a shot. You think in Mike's system, Baker Mayfield would be really good here too?
Yeah, I think okay. That's several quarterbacks.
I don't know,
now, the question to me is – with Tua, he's and you talk about skills, accuracy, anticipation, all that. It's obvious he can do things.
Yeah.
The question is, can he go above and beyond what Mike's offense is? And
right.
And we haven't seen that in the big games. We haven't seen him take the offense beyond you know what he can against a bad defense. So Baker Mayfield signs 3 years, $100 million with Tampa Bay.
That Tua ain't playing for that.
I got that. But my point is the difference between Tua and what Baker Mayfield did last year, that significant.
Why don't you run that by over there at camp today? I want to hear that last one. Run that one at camp while you're out there today and see how they.
Well,
how
it
they,
can't look.
How they like
look
that
at
one.
Camp. You get Tyreek Hill saying Tua should be the high. Of course,
yeah.
if I'm Tua's guy, I'm going to say that.
But
too.
You can't go by Tyreek because then he goes and
right.
Take care of me too while you're
right,
at it.
Right.
Hey, people need cash here before we go to break here, and Rich Clark's going to join us, college football playoff executive director from up in North Carolina, in just a moment here. People need money, man. Interest rates are higher, high insurance rates. HOA fees killing the retired folks that are in condos out there in beautiful places, thought they were set for life, and then everything goes up on them. And here they are going upside down and running credit card debt up. That's the latest thing to do, and that is a horrible idea, especially at 27, 28, 29%. Yeah, credit card killers, man, is what they are. Let Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage relieve some of that money stress, get that credit card paid off. He also talks about reverse mortgages. He is the reverse mortgage man. More popular than ever. And if you and your spouse are 62 or older, you qualify. Might be perfect. You get that equity, have a place to live. Michael explained the whole thing to you. More importantly, he can do them in half the time of the banks. Debt consolidation. You know, everything for a lot of people is you need money. And some of that equity in your home could really help out. And Michael Kotze can do it for you. He's been doing this for more than 30 years. He really has no life. I've known Michael a long time. And when I say he has no life, look, this is what he does 7 days a week. He works to get you approved, get you the best deals possible, and take care of you so you can have that money and get closer to retirement and enjoying yourself. The guy works 7 days a week. Nobody's going to outwork Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage. Call or text him. 561-441-2730. 561-441-2730. MLS 166-254. Rates and terms subject to change daily without notice. He's an equal housing lender. All right, and welcome back, and good morning to everybody out there. This is a great time of the year, man. Got the ACC kickoff up in Charlotte. Always fun up there. I don't know what it's like. No hangovers for a couple of days here. I can't believe it. Not out drinking and running around with that Orange Bowl committee and all that stuff. So it's been pretty good. Hey, we got a special guest this morning, Rich Clark, College Football Playoff Executive Director. Rich, good morning, and thanks for being with us. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thank you guys for having me.
Well, listen, we got a lot of questions. First of all, I think most people are excited about going from 4 to 12 teams. I think it's a positive. I feel a lot better about it now that we have the NIL and players are getting paid. How do you feel about the whole situation going 4 to 12?
I think it's going to be amazing. I just started the job about 5-6 weeks ago, and man, I say better lucky than good, because I am coming in at the perfect time, and it's so amazing the access that the 12-team playoff is going to have. We're going to actually determine a champion on the field rather than, you know, by committee. I think it's just full of goodness, and I'm excited to be a part of it.
Rich, I got to ask you, because the one complaint we have, we're kind of a combination of ACC and SEC fan base down here with Florida State, Florida, and Miami fans, but I want to ask you, there's a lot of people think SEC's controlling everything. They're going to have a ton. How many teams potentially, I know it's the first year and you've had a chance to kind of look at this, could we be looking at with the SEC as strong as that conference is?
Well, you know, there's a wide opening. Access is there for all conferences. And, you know, depending on how strong a given conference is, that's going to drive how many teams in the commissioners structured it this way on purpose. The only automatic qualifiers are the top five conference champions. So there'll be five conference champions. The top five will come in. The top four of those will get byes. And then the rest, the other seven teams that get in, are all at large. So they could come from any conference. And I think there's a pathway now for schools like, you know, the group of five, for example. One of them is going to be one of those top five champions. So they'll be in. And then there could be more than one of them that's a top five champion. There could be one of them that's in the seven at large. So I think the access is so much better than the 4-team playoff. But, you know, if a conference is strong and if they break out in a year, they could have more.
How much money are we talking about with the contract? How much added money will this bring college football?
Well, there's a good amount of added revenue just from the TV deals. I mean, we have, you know, we've gone from 3 games to 11 games, so that brings some revenue in, and the conference commissioners decide how that revenue is distributed among the conferences and then to the institutions. So of course, there's going to be some added revenue from the media opportunities there, from ticket sales. You know, there's just a lot of things that come in from every game, all the added games. 8 additional games brings in a lot of extra revenue that we want to get out to those conferences and to the schools to help our student athletes.
Rich, we're big Orange Bowl fans. They do a lot of great stuff in our community down here, from football fields and all this youth sports stuff down here I'm sure you're aware of. How important is it to take care of some of the original bowl teams to keep them in the rotation and getting some of these big games for the playoffs?
I think it's very important, and the commissioners also recognize that. And, you know, the quarterfinals and the semifinals are going to be in, you know, the New Year's Six Bowls. And the Orange Bowl is obviously a key and one of our bowls with such a rich tradition. It's important that we keep our bowls vibrant. You know, they add a lot to college football, but they're also expert at game ops. You know, they put on such a magnificent show, I'll say, that we have to keep them in the mix, and we're proud that they're going to be great partners for us. I do think, though, I'll say this, we got those four on-campus games that are going to happen in the first round. Those are going to be very exciting. It's going to be an opportunity for those campuses to showcase. It'll probably be, for some of them, the most exciting game they ever had on their campus. So it's going to be very good. But then there's a good balance, you know, because then the quarterfinals and the semis go to the bowls. That builds some excitement as well, and it keeps it going right up to that championship game, so which will be in Miami in 2026. So we're really excited about that. In fact, I've already visited Miami to talk to to some of the our partners there so we can get ready for that game.
How much pushback or discussion was there for college players to be playing, you know, 18, 19, 20-year-olds to be playing as many as 16 games a year?
Yeah, that's something, again, that the commissioners took into account when they were deciding how big, how many games the playoffs should be. Also, the timing. So one of the things that they built in, after the conference championship games and selection weekend, they built in 2 weeks before the playoffs start. And that gives our student-athletes a little time to recover, get their legs up under them, heal some injuries they may have had so that they can get the rest they need before they start the playoff. And then, you know, not making the playoff go too far into the year was important as well. So I think they found a good balance as to how big the playoff are and how far it extends the season. But we have to keep the student athletes in mind. This is about them. And if we lose sight of that, then, you know, why are we here? So that's a great question, but it's also an important aspect to the whole playoff that we've established.
Rich, as you know, everybody's talked about the Power Five and the Big Ten and the power of the SEC, and they are strong conferences and have the ACC and the Big 12 there as well. Are you concerned about the people not in the Power Four or Power Five conferences still having a chance at this, or you feel like the group's pretty open-minded for those guys to still have a chance to get one of those 12 spots?
I feel like the selection committee is open-minded. And as I mentioned before, there's a couple paths. We know we're going to have at least one team that's outside of those power conferences. But there's that, you know, the seven at-large teams, that one champion. That gives two pathways, really, for some of our group of five, as some call it, those teams to get into it. And I do think that the selection committee is very open-minded. I got to sit in on some of the selection committee deliberations last year. Those folks they have a lot of integrity. They have a lot of passion for what they're doing, and they really check their egos at the door. They check their conference at the door. And it's a pretty wide range of folks. We have journalists, we have coaches, we have ADs, and those coaches and ADs don't just come from those big conferences. They come from some of the, you know, some of the other conferences. So I think they have an open mind. I think they come in there knowing that their job is to pick the best teams, regardless of what conference they come from.
Rich, can I put you on the spot just once before
uh-oh.
I let you go? No, it's not an uh-oh, but I said we got a big Florida State fan base down here. They had a very unique situation down to the third quarterback last year, but they went undefeated. They beat everybody they were supposed to, and at the end of the year, a lot of it was defensive-minded, but they found a way to win. What was your thoughts going through that? Because I got to tell you, man, there were a lot of people obviously really upset about that, going, it doesn't matter, we won all our games. What do you say just looking back at that? It was a very unique situation. We haven't gone through anything like that.
Yeah, that was a tough situation. And like I mentioned, I was at the selection committee last year, and I was there for that final meeting. What I'll say is those selection committee members agonized over that decision, and it was a tough one for sure. And you know, in the end, I feel like they did with integrity the best that they could, made the best decisions in a very difficult scenario. And what I do say is that problem is now solved with a 12-team playoff, where you don't run into something like that, where, you know, a stumble or something that goes on in the season knocks you out. You know, if we had put the 12-team playoff in a year earlier, we have a whole different scenario for Florida State. You know, so now that is one of the things, and you know, it's interesting that this happened last year because it highlights why we need this playoff, and I think it's going to be amazing for all of us.
Rich, thank you, man. Really appreciate it. I know you're making your rounds.
Absolutely.
and welcome here to South Florida when you come down. Looking forward to getting a chance to meet you. Thank you.
I appreciate it. I appreciate all that your community does for college football. So look forward to seeing you guys when I get there.
All right, you got it. We love our Orange Bowl for sure. Rich Clark, college football playoff executive director. We're going to go to break here. We've got a lot more stuff to get to here this morning. Before we go to break, I want to take a moment to tell you, I may sing it, I may talk it. Around the clock tonight, you're going to rock, rock, rock with air around the clock. Air conditioning and plumbing, oh yeah, man, I'll tell you what, great service. Somebody's asked me, I don't know about all those air conditioning companies. Whoa, I hear you always talking and bragging about Lenny and Eric and all. So listen, man, air around the clock, air conditioning and plumbing, about great service every day. I'm not saying everything's always perfect, but nobody's going to bust their butt more than that company to get it right for you. Trained and certified technicians, 135 trucks on the road every day, 7 days a week, and 35 plus years of experience here in South Florida. How about that? Around the clock plumbing, licensed, experienced plumbers, 7 days a week, same deal. And I got more good news, too, that goes really with the great service you're going to get. They have a warehouse full of air conditioning units, all different sizes, and water heaters. Water heater's another big one on the plumbing side. We got a water heater. We're the water heater kings of South Florida. We have a box truck filled with all-size Rheem water heaters ready to go. Same-day delivery, same-day installation is always the goal. Financing plans as well to help you out. 855-PLUMBER, 855-PLUMBER, still family-owned and going strong after all these years. Eric, Mike, Chippy, and all the rest of them ready to help you with any kind of air conditioning or plumbing problem. And if you need a plumber, a really good one, licensed, experienced plumber, they went out and hired the very best. 855-PLUMBER for air around the clock. Air conditioning and plumbing, tell them Joe Rose said to give them a call. Tell them you're my best friend.
I want to welcome everybody back here to Charlotte, the ACC kickoff, part of the Capital One Orange Bowl Media Tour presented by Duffy's Sports Grill. And Joe and Dave, we have a very special guest sitting in front of me right now here in Charlotte. Eric Palm, CEO of the Orange Bowl, is with us. Brad Hauser, the president and chair of the Orange Bowl, also with us. So, Joe, take it away.
All right, Woody, thank you so much for setting that all up there. Woody, just making it happen. Eric Palm's longtime friend and does just a great job with the CEO of the Orange Bowl and all the things they do down here in South Florida, the great work. And Brad Hauser, now president. And by the way, guys, great news, man. Semifinal game this year and a finals game next year. Boy, it doesn't get any better with the new kickoff, which I'm very excited about. I know years ago Eric didn't like this whole thing, but no, I'm just kidding. Eric, how you doing, man? How you doing, bud?
I'm doing great, but I'm missing you in Charlotte. There's a void right now.
Well, no
we
beers.
Need to get you out here next year.
No beers, and I got my dad with me, so it's a good combination. So hey,
Well, we miss you.
Well, thank you. Hey, so I got to ask you, for you guys, this is all new, the 12 teams. I think a lot of people, well, hell, some people want 14. But I think as long as they take care of the big bowls like the Orange Bowl, and we're just talking to Rich Clark about that, and we're going to make sure we do it. I think it's important to take care of them, and then it works, and we keep some of that great tradition of bowls and how important they are, especially in our backyard.
Yeah, I mean, we obviously track on this through the years, and you and I have talked about it many, many times on air, offline. But we're here now. You know, it's a 12-team playoff, and we're very fortunate for the next 2 years to be part of the system, and we're working right now on the future. But it's going to be exciting. You know, we're going to be a semifinal coming out of the gates Thursday, January 9th at Hard Rock Stadium. And this is the next evolution in postseason college football, and we're right there.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I know a lot of people are thinking just off the top, this is just guys and Dave Hyde and I sitting in here talking about this, and this sounds like it's going to be an SEC heavy-driven thing. How do you think it plays out? I know we talk Big Ten and SEC, kind of the big boys right now, it seems like, in college football. What do you think it's going to look like?
It's a great question. I mean, if you study the first 10 years of the CFP, you definitely see that the SEC and Big Ten would populate this 12-team playoff in a significant way, probably in the range of three, maybe four teams each. But you also see, you know, that leagues like the ACC, the Big 12, Notre Dame, sometimes this group of five teams that get, positioned to not just have one program in there, but multiple programs in there. And you look at, we're here at the ACC, And there's some great historic programs that have done well. Florida State, Clemson, you see where Miami's building momentum. You see Virginia Tech kind of rearing its head. North Carolina, look back through the years, you can see that these programs would have made a run. What I look at from my prism is really the number of wins that's going to put you into play. You know, definitely 11 win, 12 win, you're probably pretty safe to get in there. It's really that 10, maybe even 9 that puts you in the range of getting a look. So it's going to make college football really go deep into November, perhaps even early December, when you're not going to know who's going to emerge. Some will be obvious, but it's going to make November like nothing we've ever seen before.
Eric, I'm just curious, what, if anything, did the Bulls, from your perspective, the Orange Bowl, have to say in all of this, or any of it, did as this was going from 4 to 12 teams and it's all being organized?
Yeah, I mean, ever since, you know, really the advent of the BCS, and now we're into the CFP era, so we're talking about what? We're talking about 22, now going in 23 years. You know, we've been part of this system. You advocate, obviously, what's in the best interest from our prism of what would arise. But in the end, you know, there's commissioners of these leagues. There's Notre Dame's athletic director. They're in the room. They ultimately report to a board of managers that are the presidents of these universities. And they're looking at every aspect of postseason college football and what it means and the growth. But in the end, you know, there's been historic bowl games that have been populating this in the BCS area, the Rose, the Sugar, the Orange, the Fiesta, and now in the CFP area, you have the Peach and the Cotton. And there's definitely considerations that have to be evaluated. And I think the bowls bring an aspect. You're talking about postseason games that are at neutral sites. And there's an art to this, and to make it easy for the fans, for the media, for the stakeholders that take part in this. Hey, so in the end, yeah.
Eric, is there going to be a second, not to interrupt you, is there going to be a second bowl game still besides the semifinal game, or would that be the only one, or will there be another Orange Bowl game as well?
Yeah. It will be the Capital One Orange Bowl. So this year we'll have a national semifinal on January 9th. The following year it'll be a quarterfinal on January 1st. Miami and South Florida will host the national championship game in 26. We'll have two games, not this year, but next year.
Okay.
And we're currently working on where the Capital One Orange Bowl will fit in the next iteration, which we believe will be 6 years.
Okay. Hey, is Brad still there? Brad, are you still
He's
there?
He's there. Yeah.
I'm still here.
Hey, Brad.
How are you?
I'm doing great. Hey, Brad, I want to talk about the programs. You guys that wear those jackets, those nice jackets, have done a lot of good stuff in South Florida. We still working on the high school football fields. Is that with flag football as well as tackle football, the growth of the sport, the tennis tournament, all the other great stuff you guys involve? Will that continue, and what are you guys working on now?
Well, we're continue to work on the legacy fields. Got another one on the drawing board. The Orange Bowl tennis, international tennis. We're continuing to evolve that, and always looking for areas where we can expand our reach in youth sports. And a big part of Orange Bowl is leveraging the good fortune that we gain from the football game into the community at large. So we're so excited for next year, and going forward, we're optimistic that we'll have a meaningful playoff game every year, augmented by national championship games every, hopefully, 3 to 5 years. So that's the plan. We continue to navigate and make Orange Bowl state of the art, top of the market when it comes to postseason bowl football.
Well, listen, Brad, as you know, you've been part of this for a long time. This Orange Bowl is very, very important to our community and a lot of people. I tell everybody, go see that field right there. You know, we're out in the. And I go see that field right there. That's an Orange Bowl field. Oh, really?
That's right.
A lot of people don't realize, except kids play Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, playing games at all different ages, and have a nice field for these guys for that stuff. Not to mention all the other event you guys have to really keep things alive with the amount of money that you guys have generated to give it back into our community is just so important. I feel like, is it potentially, Brad and Eric, more money going to be involved with the bowl games and the importance of a bowl game, knowing it could be a national champion compared to the old system?
Yeah, you know, as Brad just touched on, it's a game of relevance every year to the national championship game. So the platform is elevated. You know, we experienced it in the first 10 years. Every 3 years, we would have a national semifinal. Now it's every year. And so as you follow, you know, the CFP, you know, this has been monetized and the numbers are going up dramatically. For us, you know, our contribution is to make sure that building is not just sold, but it's full. And to, by virtue of the success of that bowl game, to give back to our community in a meaningful way, not just for the Capital and Orange Bowl, but as you touched on, everything we do in the community, Orange Bowl Cares, the four pillars, including those parks.
Yeah, no, great stuff. And listen, let's keep everybody happy up there. You know, I don't know, Eric, if they asked you to speak up there to help, you know, our man up there. I'm a big fan of Jim Phillips. If you have to stand up there like, hey, man, can you guys all just love Clemson and Florida State? Show some damn love. We're happy here. I mean, come on. Let's go. I'm joking. You stay out all that stuff, Eric.
Well, we've been partners with the ACC for a long time, and they've been great partners. And we've known Jim Phillips not just at the ACC, but he was at Northwestern as the athletic director and one of the great, great people in this industry.
I love him, man. I love the fight. And he's fighting, man. He got up there and goes, I'm fighting for this for this conference. I believe in it. Nothing against anybody. You guys do what you have to do, but we're going to fight back, and we're going to treat you with respect. But I like the message, and I know you're close to him, and so hopefully we get a chance to talk to Jim, because I think he does a great job for all sports, by the way, not just football, but cares about everything else too.
He does. He does. He's a good man, and this is a transformative time. It's you know, you see things on the headlines. It has a downstream impact into so many areas, including postseason college football.
Yeah, no question. Do I miss that big dinner tonight? Is that dinner? I'm going to wrap it up with
this.
That
was last night, Brett. Joe.
Oh, you guys aren't going out again tonight?
You would have gone to bed probably 8 p.m. But
you're
next
right.
Year, you're going to
oh
make a
God.
Big appearance
hey,
here next
you're,
year.
You're right. I have great respect at 867 now for I have great respect for early hours and early bed. There's no question.
Yeah.
Hey, Brad and Eric, thank you, guys. I really appreciate you guys coming on. Good luck with everything, and can't wait to see what it's going to look like this year. This is going to be fun.
Okay. Thank you, Joe.
We'll see you soon, Joe.
Eric
Palms,
so you got it. Brad Hauser, thanks. The president of the Orange Bowl with us this morning. Talk a little bit. We'll go to a quick break here and jump into some more stuff coming up here. Going to be an interesting one, man. This whole college football thing is crazy. By the way, can you believe tomorrow we're going to be jumping right into, man, it starts up.
I'm ready. I'm ready for football now. You know, July's about out of the way, and here comes football, right?
By the end of the practices, I get a little tired of, but early on, just to see those guys run around and see somebody run by somebody in practice or just a beautiful throw, it's kind of fun to have it back out there. And listen, both our programs down here, I don't know about you, but Miami Hurricanes and Miami Dolphins, and look at both the rosters. I was at spring football, and they can't do much more than they've done. They've had great recruiting classes. If this one continues the way it is, this will be the three best recruiting classes they've ever had in the history, back to back to back.
It seems like every day you're reading, they just signed
somebody else.
So,
and the transfer portal, he's got a bunch of guys from the transfer portal going to start. And then for the Miami Dolphins, listen, it's on again.
It's time for both teams to win, though, right? I mean, that's
old Orange Bowl.
Ultimately, all of the talk of rosters and all that, great. Let's see some wins in the month we're talking about with the Orange Bowl people, January. Let's see some wins in January.
Sounds good, man. All right, we got 9 o'clock hour coming up. Stay with us. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.